I'd like to begin by encouraging you to turn to Acts chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading there in verse 19. Acts chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading in verse 19. Verse 19, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." There's an interesting phrase in that text. It says, when Barnabas came to Antioch, he saw the grace of God. What exactly did Barnabas see at Antioch that the text says, man, he saw the grace of God? And what does that word grace mean, especially in that context? So first of all, typically when you see the word grace in a dictionary or in a Bible commentary, usually you'll see the phrase unmerited favor, and certainly that's a good place to start. Grace is a favor. And it's a favor given someone who does not deserve it. In other words, that person did not earn the favor that was being given. Sometimes it's defined as an undeserved blessing, and that's exactly what it is. It's an undeserved blessing. It's a favor. It's a kindness that's shown to someone without regard to whether that person is deserving or merits it. In other words, it doesn't have anything to do with the recipient, but it is given to that person regardless of who they are. If you look up grace in Vine's dictionary, you'll see that there's the idea of grace that's bestowed, and it is something that is pleasurable. In other words, when someone receives grace, they receive something that is pleasurable, it's delightful, it's joyful. Sometimes the word loveliness is used. It's agreeable to them. It's something they desire. Vine also includes the idea that grace is like a loving kindness that's shown to someone. Someone who bestows grace upon someone shows goodwill for them, giving them something that is good and wonderful and lovely and pleasurable and delightful and joyful. So when he sees the grace of God, that's what that word grace brings with it. Those pictures now that we have in our mind of what grace is. Well, we see from our context reading those four or five verses there that he saw several things when he came to Antioch. One thing he saw was he saw believers. He saw the saved. He saw the redeemed. The text says that those saints who had been persecuted because of Stephen, back in Acts chapter 7, 8, and along in there, those people spread out and began preaching in various areas, and he mentions those areas. And at first they were preaching, as it says, only to the Jews. To the Jews only. And it says they came preaching the Lord Jesus. Notice that phrase at the end of verse 20. That's what they did. They spoke to the Hellenists preaching the Lord Jesus. These people in Antioch, without that saving message of the Lord Jesus, were without hope. Just like those people talked about in Ephesians chapter 2. I hope you can turn with me and read that verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I know you've read it before. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The people in Antioch could have been described like that. Strangers, alienated, without hope. So without that saving message, without those people preaching the Lord Jesus, that was their predicament. That was their state. They were without hope. It was only through the preaching of the Lord Jesus that these people would have hope. But that preaching came because of God's grace. That's why they preached the Lord Jesus, was because of God's grace. Because it was through the preaching of the Lord Jesus that God was offering them salvation. He was offering them hope. Not through a divine revelation that was going to come to them individually, not through some vision. An angel wasn't going to come down, but it was only through the preaching of the Lord Jesus that these people were going to be able to receive the grace of God. In Titus chapter 2, we have the words dealing with the grace of God and how it came to people. Very important verse, Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." So it was through God's grace that salvation was being offered. That's how they were going to receive God's grace, was through the preaching of the Lord Jesus. Yes, it was undeserved. And this blessing, this favor, was going to be made available to all men. Everybody in Antioch could receive God's grace. Every one of them had that privilege. Paul, when he writes to Timothy in the first letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, says, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God's grace is extended to everyone. Everyone. So when those persecuted Christians came to Antioch preaching the Lord Jesus, they were offering to everyone in Antioch hope. They were offering salvation to the entire citizenship of Antioch. God was no respecter of persons when they came preaching the Lord Jesus. It says they preached to the Hellenist. Preached to the Hellenist there in Antioch. And they had the opportunity to receive the grace of God. So when Barnabas comes to Antioch, one of the things he sees as the grace of God is he sees people who've been saved. They did have no hope at all. They were in darkness. They were outside the covenant. They had no promise, no hope. Now he sees people with hope. Now he sees people who've been forgiven. Now he sees people who have been redeemed. He goes into the city and he sees those people. He sees the grace of God. They've received it because now they have hope. Now they have that promise of eternal life that before the preaching of the Lord Jesus, they did not have. They did not have. So he saw those saved. The second thing that goes right along with that is he saw and experienced the preaching of the Lord Jesus. It's interesting that many places in the New Testament calls the preaching of the Lord Jesus, calls gospel preaching a grace. Calls it a grace. A couple of chapters on, or three, in Acts chapter 14, verse 3, says this, "Therefore they stayed there a long time, Paul and Barnabas, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands." This was on one of their missionary trips. They came preaching the Lord Jesus. They came preaching the gospel. They came spreading the word. And it says that was called the word of His grace. Gospel preaching is a word of grace because it's through that message that people can receive the grace of God. So when those persecuted saints came to Antioch, that's what they were doing. They were spreading the word of God's grace so that people could receive the grace of God. They didn't have to live in darkness. They didn't have to live without hope anymore. They could receive the grace of God. In Acts chapter 20, even more chapters on over, notice what it's called in verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. This is Paul talking before that group of people, and he says in verse 24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." When someone preaches the gospel, they're preaching the grace of God because it's through that preaching that people believe and can receive the grace of God. It's not received some other way. That's why it was so important for those persecuted saints to come to Antioch preaching the Lord Jesus. Because when someone preaches the Lord Jesus, they're preaching the word of grace. They are preaching the gospel of the grace of God. God's grace, then, is not given apart from God's word. In other words, God's grace and God's word are inseparably tied together. God's grace and God's word. If we go back to Titus chapter 2 again, we'll see that together. Titus chapter 2, go back to those two verses again and notice that. Because it says in verse 11 and 12 that the grace of God that brings salvation, that's what grace does. God's grace brings salvation. It's appeared to all men. And what does that grace do? Teaches us. The grace of God teaches us. How? Well, it was called, back in those two verses that we read, the word of His grace, or the word of the grace of God, the gospel of the grace of God. So the gospel teaches us about God's grace. It teaches us. So again, when the gospel is taught, when it's preached, when it's read, when it's understood, then people can receive the grace of God because the grace of God is something that teaches. That's how I learn about God's grace. That's the word of His grace. I can hold this up and call this the word of His grace because that's exactly what it is. It tells us about His unmerited favor that He wants us to receive. It tells me about that undeserved blessing that I can have if I receive it. So it tells me about all of those things. So he saw the preaching of the Lord Jesus. And it's this word of grace that teaches us that all spiritual blessings, every single one of them, including forgiveness, including redemption, are only found in Christ. Only. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul emphasizes this when he wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. He says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." It doesn't say most spiritual blessings. Every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. Every single one. Verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." The people who are in Christ, in the Beloved, are those who are accepted. Verse 7, "In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Notice how in all these verses, salvation and grace are tied together. Well, we've already seen how God's Word and God's grace are tied together. So we see God's Word, salvation, God's grace, all tied together. You can't separate those things. Some try and do that, but it's impossible. So those scattered saints took God's Word, which offers salvation of God's grace, to those people in Antioch. And when Bartimaeus comes, he sees that. He sees people who have heard the word of his grace, who've heard the grace of the gospel, who've heard those things, received God's grace through that preaching. And now they've been benefited because now they have all of those spiritual blessings. They didn't deserve them. They were unmerited. They were undeserved. But because of God's grace, because of who he is, he granted them those things. But, and this is one of the most important things, God's grace has to be received. Not everybody in Antioch received God's grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, when Paul wrote to the church there, he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." See, the grace of God must be received. Now, it's available, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 11 and 12, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4, both of those say that God's grace is available to everyone. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. So he offers his grace, his undeserved favor, his unmerited favor to everyone. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it. Here's a story I found. Don't know who wrote it, but I think it aptly illustrates what I'm talking about. Imagine a wealthy man having compassion on a poor homeless man in his condition, deciding to do something to save him. The poor man doesn't deserve the rich man's help. In other words, he's done nothing to earn it. Yet the offer is there. The rich man offers to take the poor man and get him cleaned up and give him clothes and a job, a place to live. If the poor man takes him up on his offer, then and only then is he saved from his condition by grace. But if he does not take up the rich man's offer, he forfeits it. He forfeits that undeserved blessing, that unmerited favor, and cannot benefit from it. You see, all because mercy and grace was shown toward the poor man doesn't mean he was automatically saved from his condition. He has to be willing to receive it. And if the poor man did accept the offer, but then turned back to the life that he had been living, he would no longer receive the rich man's act of grace. He would be back in his same condition. So there we have the rich man offering it to him, offering all these things, clean him up and give him a place to live and all these things and clothes. But the poor man has the option of saying no. He doesn't have to take it. He doesn't have to go with the rich man, doesn't have to accept the rich man's clothes, doesn't have to accept the rich man's place to live. He doesn't have to accept any of those things. And that's the way it is with God's grace. God doesn't force it on a single person. It's available to everyone. Everyone can have it. But you must receive it. You must accept it. And many people choose not to accept it. The last thing that Barnabas would have seen at Antioch, especially at a later time, is found down, going back to our text. If we go down to verse 27, later on it says, "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea." So what did Barnabas see? He saw the love and kindness of the saints. Those who had received God's grace showed grace to others. See, that's what receiving God's grace is supposed to do for someone. Once you receive God's grace, you should want to give God's grace to other people and show it to other people. And that's exactly what these saints did at Antioch. The persecuted saints had came to them preaching the Lord Jesus. Many of them had received that grace of God, and now as a result, were helping other people. And in particular, they were helping these people in Jerusalem who needed relief. Who needed relief. They had unselfish giving, just like those people in Macedonia. You remember 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now notice he calls this the grace of God. "Then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." The grace of God. These Macedonians gave beyond their ability, beyond what anybody could expect. Paul calls that the grace of God. These people in Antioch, that's one of the things that Barnabas saw when he saw the grace of God. He saw how willing the people in Antioch were to help other saints in need. He saw that. He experienced that. Well, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he wants them to excel in that same type of grace. Look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "But as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." That giving is called a grace. It's called a grace. So that's what Barnabas saw in Antioch too. He saw that willingness and desire to help the saints who were suffering back in Jerusalem. The Bible even says that God makes grace abound so that we can abound in good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." He makes grace abound. Where does this grace come from? He says it comes from God. So when Barnabas came to Antioch, he was privileged to see the grace of God. When he got there, he saw these saints, he saw the Christians, he saw the saved and saw what they were doing. He saw the effects of teaching the Lord Jesus. He saw people who had willingly accepted the offer of God's grace. And then he saw what happened to the people after they accepted the grace of God, and that was they were showing God's grace to other people. And that's exactly how Christians are to be today. Those of us who have received the grace of God should be showing the grace of God to other people. Telling them about God's grace, showing what it means to have received the grace of God, being willing to help people who are in need. And that's showing God's grace. Barnabas was able to see all of those things. The grace of God teaches us these things. It's extended to everyone. It's extended this morning. You know, that's what we're doing when we have an invitation song and we sing an invitation song. It's we're inviting people to accept the grace of God. It's really what we're doing. We're offering God's grace to people who are willing to accept it, but it must be received. It must be received. And if that's your desire this morning, to accept, to receive the grace of God, then we encourage you with all of our heart to do that very thing as we stand and sing this song.